Isaiah in Isaiah 55, as a way of introduction, says these words in Isaiah 55. Seek the Lord while he might be found. He may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. And the reason I started with this is we as human beings, we have a certain way of approaching life and approaching things. And we have invented things that will help us to do that, isn't it? We have time to keep the watch, you see, and we have a lot of other things in place, isn't it, that we are familiar with. You see, even the way we build our homes, so they protect us from the wind and from the rain. And also, maybe if you need more warmth, and then you want to have your balcony and the glass side, or things like facing the sun more and so forth. And so, because we know the sun rises this way and then goes down the other way. So we are familiar with our own ways. But God is not like that. God is the creator of all things, and he has the control over everything. And so when you are expecting the sun to rise from this side, it can rise from anywhere else at his order. And so this is God we worship today. And we who are familiarizing ourselves with God and his ways, and so we need to have that mindset. In our relationship with him, we need to know that he can surprise us. And actually, he designs, the Bible talks about the plans of God for our lives that we completely unaware of. We don't understand them. But he got them. And then as we walk, you see, so it's just like you bump into someone or something like that, you see, or into something. And then you are surprised. But you shouldn't be surprised, because God has designed everything in his plans. So that is the case with Hezekiah. Hezekiah here, a king in Israel, who has done great things before God. And then also he saw the protection of God from the armies who were invading and trying to destroy them. And God really saved them. And then now suddenly he got sick. You see, suddenly things turned. It's another turn of things. In those days, Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. You see, so at the point of death, just suddenly like that, a man who was just like praying earlier and seeing all sort of things with Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and the commanders. So it was just incredible. And then now here he is sick, and then the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, went to him and said, "This is what the Lord says, put your house in order because you are going to die." What a message to receive from God, you see. So this is really, and if God of Hezekiah is our God, so we can expect also messages like that from him. Why I'm saying this, because all that is needed here is the response of Hezekiah. So that what really will concern me. We cannot question God of his desires and his will, his work, but God expects us to respond to him in certain ways. Here, this is the response of Hezekiah. And take this seriously. God really desires, he wants to see our responses. Because what we think, like God has determined, we are not there. We don't know whether he has determined this or that is what is going to happen or not, even if he says that. Because he said this is going to happen and definitely you will not recover. He said this is a message, and God never lied, isn't it? And then also we just go to the extreme. We say, if he did the opposite thing, and then we may say God has changed his mind. It's not like that. He doesn't change his mind. Okay, how can we reconcile this? God declaring this, and yet he is not changing his mind. He cannot change his mind. So what are we going to hear from this? How do we solve this big problem with our little minds? He was told to put your house in order because you are going to die. You will not recover. And I think because the English language is embedded in the Bible, you see, that was what really Mitcham Bok, a Christian man with us in Sudan, when we went to mission. And so we had lessons, and then in every lesson, at the end of the day, we would include a history from the Bible. And then one Muslim lady really got agitated with that. He said, "Why all your stories are from the Bible?" And then Mitcham had really to be inspired by God. And he said, "Well, you cannot understand English without the Bible." You see, so if you look at the Western cultures, though, especially the English-speaking world, they have phrases that are taken from the Bible, and every ordinary person is familiar with these words, even if they don't understand the background and the context. So put your house in order. This is word you hear this a lot, isn't it? Like the Good Samaritan, isn't it? Yeah, they say that. Oh, okay. And a lot of saying of Jesus Christ. So what I do always when I interact with these people, I say, "Do you know who said this?" They don't know. I say, "It's Jesus Christ." And then that is an opportunity to do that. So now he was told to put his house in order. Here is his response. And that is really very important. His man. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. He turned his face to the wall. You see, so he is a sign of grief and hopelessness. Just the wall. It's just like, because they say, like, you hit your face to the wall. You see, that means that you can't go any further. He knew that he couldn't go anywhere. So what he did, he just put his face on the wall. And then he prayed this challenging prayer that no one can dare to pray. And yet because of his faith, he did this. He said to the Lord, remember. He prayed to the Lord, the Yahweh, the God of the covenant. And then he said, remember, O Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotions and have done what is good in your eyes. Of course, God does not forget, isn't it? We forget, but God never forgets. But to remember is urging God to consider my walk with you. Just consider, just look at my record. And this is a challenging thing for a human being in a relationship with God, to say these things. So because God never lies, and he sees everything, and he is clear, and nothing is hidden before him. What an encouraging thing, because even tonight is saying to us, all our walk with him, God has been, he designed our walk with him. He has been the one helping us. He heard our prayers. He saw the works we did. You see, the things we did in good faith and the sacrifices, and everything is recorded with God, and he will never forget this. An act of kindness, even feeling towards someone really struggling. A word of kindness, sacrifice you have offered. These things are before God. And why Hezekiah would just remind God of these things? Because they were the very thing that God has done for him and through him. You see, and God can never deny his work. You see, you have done this for me, and I did this because of your grace. Because he is not denying God's grace. You see, he was walking before God. And to walk before God, he was not a perfect man, but it was God who was enabling him to walk with him. You see, and to walk is to live before God, that the walk of faith. You see how he conducted himself as a believer. And he said to him, in this way I walk before you, how I walked before you faithfully. How can you say something like this to God, that I have walked faithfully? He said, what a confidence like that. You see, so if Hezekiah, who was a sinner like us all, could say something like that, that means also we, at some point, we could believe that God is enabling us to walk before him. Even to walk faithfully, that includes our confession of our sins before him. That is a faithful walk before God. And when we fall and we look to him, and he picks us up. You see, so this is God. So he sees that, and because he doesn't ruin his work, God is a God who, he's not a tricky God. He doesn't want us to fail. He's even when we fail, he got remedy. He redeems, and we walk, we go before him. You see, so Hezekiah was able to boast in this way, and wholehearted devotion. And we talked about devotion, because faithfulness and devotions, they were the ingredient in his life to do what he did. So when he says this, so I don't want to go back to what we said, but when when he was introduced, being introduced, when he became king, so all that he did was listed, isn't it? Everything was listed that Hezekiah did was listed. He did, verse 3, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. He removed the high places, smashed the sacred stones, and cut down the Asherah's poles. We talked about how he restored the worship, the true worship. These are the things that he is mentioning. He removed those high places. And then also what he did, he broke into pieces the bronze snakes Moses had made. For up to that time, the Israelites had been burning incense to it. You see? So idolatry. So he mentioned all these things, and he trusted God with all of his heart. So he refers to those things. And so, and what he did, he wept bitterly. And so this is, and then in my reflections, why he wept bitterly, why he refused to be, to respond to God in a different way. Here is the answer. Well, this is a form of judgment, isn't it? So for him to die in this way, that is symbolizes judgment of God. And he wouldn't accept that judgment. You see, that is the reason why he responded this way. He doesn't want to be condemned as an unrighteous man. You see? And die like that. This is not the death of a righteous person. That is in his thinking. And he was so right. That is why he wept bitterly. He could have said, let your will be done. But he refused to say that. And we need to be aware of this also. There are judgments of God that are there, things that happen to us, not because it's his will. It's a form of judgment. See, as a form of judgment. If we did, certainly there are a lot of things that he did wrong, and we will talk about them in the future. Yeah, because actually the text here is not written in a chronological order. You see, it's just like all, it's a history. It's written after all, every event has taken place. And so the history is ordered in different orders. And so he wept bitterly. And then the Bible says here, the Bible says, before Isaiah had left the middle court. That is a reference to time, isn't it? So the time when he offered his praise. You see, even because here, just in a short time, even before the prophets could leave the whole temple area, temple court, because you know, they were in the temple and then the temple court. So it's just like within 4 minutes. I'm just guessing. The Bible says, before Isaiah had left the middle court, God says he answers our prayers, and he will swiftly answer our prayers. If we truly demand justice and that we don't want to see the situation persist, whatever the situation might be, we need to pray in such a way that we have answers for our ordeals, for our struggles. We need to have faith and to take hold of God and to pray earnestly. And if repentance is needed, we need to repent. But here there is a true heart. So that is why he was digging a lot of boxes that God, that moved God. You see, in the Bible, God is moved. You see? So he always like the Cornelius. You see his prayers, great is your faith. You see, it's just incredible. The woman who came and said, the woman with flow if I only touched the hem of his garment. You see, so the power flows, you see, for faith and trust and also desperation. You see, how bad you want this. Because our life with God is a precious life, isn't it? It's a meaningful life. And then you can do something with God's power and in his will, something that will be radical in the lives of a generation. Look at the history. Martin Luther and then those of Calvin. You see, they started a movement that lasted and will last forever until Christ returns. Recovering the word of God, turning people back to the word of God, and just really calling people to believe in the supreme work of God, faith alone, grace alone, the word alone, you see, and God alone. All these things, they was from God, and because they refused to be intimidated, there were men who were running for their lives, isn't it? So Calvin, he left England. He left French. He was a Frenchman. He was a scholar in law. But the Lord took hold of him and he did that. And now people are trying to make him something, but it's God who took him, really, and took hold of him, and God did what he wants, not necessarily Calvin himself. You see? And so it's just the same for us as Zechariah. And I love a phrase that I don't know where I read this in response to the in relation to Zechariah. God called him the leader of my people. He called him the leader of my people. Yeah, that is verse 5. Go back and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people. You see, so he understands his position. He was raised by God. And you see, and now also with him, for him and for the people he leads. And so he had to contend with God. And so that was really Hezekiah did. And so he, before Isaiah had left the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him. And this is really graphic, isn't it? So go back. So let us engage this man. I've heard his prayers, the leader of my people. God really has concern for his people. You see, he wouldn't just take his servant from the midst of his own people. When the Assyrians were just encroaching on them, trying to destroy them, you see. So God is a God of rescue. And so let me go further. This is what the Lord says. Go to tell him, I have heard your prayers and seen your tears. I will heal you. Just straight away, I will heal you. On the third day from now, you will go up to the temple of the Lord. Why on the third day? And that is answering to my earlier questions. He has been declared dead. God is going to cause him to die. So he was going to die. And yet now God is going to heal him, but not instantly. Say, after 3 days, you will be fully healed. So this is no less than a resurrection, isn't it, friends? 3 days. What 3 days is speak of? Jesus spent 3 days on the tomb, and he rose again. And so this man was declared to die. And yet now, we are told, only after 3 days, that you could go and worship. You could just go free as a healed man, you know. But now the Lord says, I will heal you. But now God will seize the opportunity to point to his son, Jesus Christ. You see, and now we will see, that is my answer to this. And so just I will, he said to him, on the third day, I will heal you. On the third day from now, you will go up to the temple of the Lord. That is where really, and he will be given 15 days. And here the signs. And so he talked with God, and what will be the sign that I will be healed. And then he was told that, and then also not only to be healed, but he will be delivered and the city from the hand of the king of Assyria. I will defend this city for my sake and for the sake of David, of the sake of my servant David, a reference to covenant that God has made. So then Isaiah said, prepare a poultice of figs. And so here again, symbolism. So this this kind of tree, a fig that was made like a mat and then was applied on the, it's called like an ulcer. It's just like a wound that he had. And so it was applied on the boiled and recovered, and he recovered. And so so what is this? You see that this symbolism. So God has to use these small things to do that. This is a process that God has put in place to point to elements of his healing for us, isn't it? You see, tree, Jesus lifted up on the tree. This is not allegory, but why these symbols and these small things like being brought here when they where they look like they are not adding anything to the story. And yet, you see, God applying something on the wound, the sin is to be atoned for. You see, is to be a remedy, is to be healed. And then here, Hezekiah had asked this, and then this is the Lord's sign to you, that the Lord will do what he has promised. Shall the shadow go forward to step 10 steps, or shall it go back 10 steps? It is a simple matter for the shadow to go forward 10 steps, said Hezekiah, rather have it go back 10 steps. So they thought that that will be the supernatural. Then the prophet Isaiah called upon the Lord, and the Lord made the shadow go back the 10 steps it had gone down on the stairway of Ahaz. This is my last point. The stairway of Ahaz. So those steps, they were used to keep time, isn't it? Because man is always fascinated about his own things, but God has his own ways. And that is that they could have only a stairway of heirs. But here God has his own stairways. You see, so we need to take up the stairways of God, not the stairways of heirs. Because the stairways of God are supernatural and miraculous. But the stairways of Ahaz are man's cleverness and his plans for himself to keep time and to have dominions over his own affairs. You see, and yet God is saying, like, I'm overriding the stairway of Ahaz because I am God. I add more. There's nothing that is too hard for me. I give you a sign that is so different. Even the New Testament people, when they were asking for a sign, you see, God says, I will give you a different sign, a sign that will bring glory to my name, and then a sign that will bring you a lasting blessings. More than the signs that we design for ourselves as human beings, so the better are the signs of God, because they are lasting, they are glorious, they are wonderful. Even the interaction of Ahaz with God in itself is a great process to go through. One story to finish with. When I mentioned the fact that when I was in Cairo, I was praying to have access to jail so that I can witness. And then I couldn't have access, really. So God had to do something. I was teaching one day, and then during the recess time, lunchtime, or something like that, and then I decided to go and make a long-distance call. And then you can access those things through centers. That are made specifically for that. They are called Central. And so I walked there in my tie and dressed up as a teacher. And then suddenly I forgot everything, no wallet, no ID on me. And suddenly a young man stood next to me and he demanded, as a foreigner in a country, could you produce why you are in this country? And I said, who are you? And then he revealed himself. And at a distance, they were there. Their car was stationed, where they just put people on. They said, well, if you don't have anything, you can't negotiate with them. You said, oh, I left it in the school. Now, suddenly I got myself on the car. That was Thursday afternoon. This is the news. And then we got into the, it's called immigration detention. So we got there, and then the other area was full, a lot of people. So I was taken into a section for political detainees, the Arabs who were running from their governments, highly intellectual, highly educated people. They were journalists, they were poets, and so I think they were saying poetry against the kings, like the kings and the rulers. So they were running for their lives, and so I got there, and they were two Southern Sudanese guys there, a guy with a wound that we were looking after him as well. And then I was able to ask for someone to send a message to my principal. I was the assistant principal at that time. And the news broke out in the school, and the kids, they were just devastated. And they were praying that Thursday afternoon. That was the weekend. They were praying. They poured out their hearts to God. God would release me. And then Friday was a break, so no work. So we were going to be presented to the immigration department, so to go through the process of whether you got something to be supplied or anything. So that night, I took the opportunity to do what God wanted me always to do, to share the gospel with this person. His name was Mamoun Bursan. I remember his name to this day. That was in 2000, in March the 6th. So I shared with him Isaiah 53. And he related to this Isaiah 53 because he was not running for something wrong he did, but because he was standing for his own people. And finally, so I think we finished. We stopped around 4 a.m. We started the whole night. And then he asked me about my denominations, and we always introduce ourselves as Protestants, so that is what they understand, not evangelical. And then he said to me, he thought I was excellent in my presentation. He said, you children of these denominations, you are very sensitive, and you are hard on yourself sometimes. He was very nice. So, and then he gave me some context of some other people, and I was able to bring that. So, we spent the Friday, the Saturday we went there, because my residency was perfect, because I went as a student, and I went since 89. We were exempted from any laws to have residence in Cairo. So, and they were ashamed, actually, that I had to spend 2 days there. And then my friend came, Lee Avresto, the guy on the guitar. And then I don't know what he did. He brought my passport, and he came and he came into where people who are supposed to be prisoners were. He came and he got in and he sat with me. We were chatting. See, and people said to him, "What are you doing here?" And so after that we finished and we went to school straight away. And when the kids, they heard that I was released, they were jubilant. They were, and then I heard a comment say, "We are great Christians. God heard our prayers." You see, God hears our prayers. And so we are not to have our own stairways. We are to have the stairways of God. And the signs that God will give us are everlasting. Their effect is eternal. So let us pray. Lord our God, we praise you. We thank you. We pray that we will be a people of faith like Hezekiah, who was not shy to contest his case, and Lord God, and to find remedy and healing and extension of his life for another 15 years. God our Father, there are things that are ruined in our lives. We pray for your healing over these things of ours. Lord, if we have made stairways for ourselves, we pray, O Lord God, that you smash them and you come and, Lord, place your stairways, Lord, for our lives, O Lord, to see your goodness and kindness in the land of the living. So grant us a great week, Lord our God, week of faith, and to see your favor and kindness in the things that are on our hearts, whether for our health, for our families, even practical things around our homes, even our relationships, O Lord our God. We want to see you moving and doing things there for us that will cause us to repent and to be ashamed of our own, Lord, ways that are not your ways. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.